This is the Fisher Body Historical Committee, Local 602, Lansing, Michigan. We're at the Frank Dreyer Greenhouse, and it's 22206, and it's approximately 1110. And I'd like to introduce the group.
Earl Nicholson.
Jerry Smith.
Cheryl McQuaid.
John Fedewa.
And Gary Judy. We're here today to interview. Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah. My name is Dusit Kriensam Opas.
And could you say your address and spell it for us?
Yeah, 3397 Hollow Spring Drive, DeWitt, Michigan, 48820. That's right.
Could you please spell your name for us?
Okay. Last name or first name?
Hold both.
D, first name spelled D U S I T, last name Kriensak Oba spelled K R I E N G S A K hyphen O B H A S.
Could you tell us a little bit about your family? Do you have children?
Yeah, I have three children, 8, 22, 14, and 12. A boy, 22, and then two girls.
Okay. And can you tell us where you came from?
Like from Bangkok, Thailand, so and in 1968. Actually, October 13, 1968, in New York.
Duke, could you tell us where you were born and raised?
Bangkok, Thailand.
Did you have any military experience?
No.
And what did your parents do?
They owned a small business. More like a 7-Eleven, we have about four or five employees, sometimes six, depending on the season.
Okay. So, could you tell us a little bit about how you came to the United States?
Actually, I study a lot about U.S. in the school. We have to start all the different country, and they're really interesting. See a lot of pictures, U.S. at the time. Well, I'd like to go see that once in a while. And then get lucky, have a chance to come to see, and here I am.
So how did that take place? How did you go about coming here?
First of all, we have to be able to come here. You have two things. You have to be a refugee or student. And that time, you know, Thailand had no problem. So refugee is out of question. So I have to be a student. So I applied for the student visa to come over here.
And where did you go to school when you first?
In New York.
Can you tell us? What were you going to school for?
Well, we have to go basic English, make sure that's a requirement for us.
And so you were in New York going to school, and how did you end up in Michigan?
When we say New York, my brother had some friend going to go to school, MSU, master degree, and then we asked him, where you go? And they said, Michigan. I said, what? Never heard that before. You know? And then when he come here later, he called and we talk about it. He said, you should come here visit us sometime. And I happened to come visit him. And I like it here. And actually, when I left Thailand, I didn't finish the high school. And I said, well, good chance to come here finish the high school. So, and I go to school here and finish my high school.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Dude, what school did you go to in New York?
Oh, just a language school. Just a...
Like a community college?
Not really. But more like a special for foreign students.
Okay.
So you ended up coming to Michigan to visit with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell us a little bit of what happened? How you ended up staying here?
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, met a friend of my brother go to school at MSU, and then told me about the school here. So I thought, well, good idea for me to finish my high school. And I left Enoffic High School, and then went to talk to the principal at Eastern, Mr. Johnson, Don Johnson, and he said, okay, even you're a little older that time, you have no problem with that. So I met my wife there, future wife.
So,
and then end up later on we marry, and then by that time I had to get a job.
So you moved to Lansing, you started going to school, yeah, and you met your wife and got future. Married and started looking for a job.
That's right.
And can you tell us a little bit about that and what happened?
Yeah, when I looking for the job, I went to Alpine Meyer, and then he never asked me anything else. Just like we only got a job or something. So I got hired in Meyer.
Okay.
And then it turned out to be pretty good because less than a year, I was a full-time. In Meyer that time, nobody had a full-time job. I let you have at least 10 years. Most people don't have full-time. I was less than a year, got a full-time job. So, well, not too bad. And after that, heard a lot of people talk about future Oldsmobile, you know, hiring future body, stuff like that. And I just try out one.
So how did you heard about Oldsmobile and Fisher Body? What did you hear?
Well, sometimes on the TV and the paper, the people stand in line waiting to apply for the job. So I thought, well, I might as well go try out for that thing and see how it would.
So can you tell us how you did that?
Well, they were the news about they're going to hire people.
Did you just go
apply stand in line just like everybody else?
And what year was that?
1977.
So you went and stood in line and
applied for and then get a call.
How long was it before they called you?
I'm not quite sure. Maybe been a long time. Can't remember how long.
Jerry Smith, where did you stand in line at the plant or did
outside
plant?
Outside,
I mean,
on a Orlando.
Okay.
Almost to the corner, actually. That time they interviewed people. The first interview was right in front of them. What do you call it? It's a security office when you come in down the right there, yeah.
So you got the call from Fisher to report to work.
Not yet. They interviewed me and then they come call me back later to, you know, the first time, and then they said second day to come back to interview again.
So you went through two interviews, mm-hmm. and they called you,
yeah.
And how did you feel about that?
I said, well, my lucky day.
And then
actually I have to tell them that. I cannot work right away. That time I'm not there like that. It's really important. You get and drop everything. Because I still work for Meyer. I don't want to just walk away. I like to live, you know, mm-hmm. on a good term. Because they take care of me good, so I live in a good term. So I actually, 2 weeks later, to Fisher Body.
So you told Fisher Body that you could start working,
yeah,
but it would be 2 weeks.
Because I have to let them off. They understand. They have no problem.
So can you tell us a little bit about your first day at Fisher Body?
Well, I was really kind of nervous because we have 5-6 of us sitting in a small office. You know, we sit quite a while and then everybody, a few minutes later, yeah, somebody get somebody to a different area and come pick up somebody. And then I think me and then two other girls were the last two out of the group, 6-7 of us, and then take us to the twin department.
Now, I'm kind of curious. Did you speak fluent English at that time when you first hired in?
Well, not really, but good enough to get by.
So you understood what they were saying to you, yeah. You didn't have a problem with communication?
No.
Okay. So, Earl Nicholson?
Do.
Yes?
You had never worked in a factory before, correct?
That's right.
When you first walked into the factory and you walked out onto the floor, were you shocked at what you had seen?
Oh, yeah. Amazing. That's shocked. That's like, wow. It's so noisy. First of all, going in, noisy people just everywhere, you know. Just like, oh, like, seems like everything go 100 miles per hour.
So, what department did they take you to?
They took me to trim almost at a where to put the seat in, put the door panel,
the cushion area. Room.
Not cushion room. It's a they install the seat in the vehicle.
3X.
Can you tell us, do you remember the first job that you had?
Yeah, actually, I worked to put those cover on the, those plastic cover on the base of the seat, front seat, the little cover in the front. I worked with a lot of nice people. Really, we have a lot of fun.
What was the work like? I mean, did you compare it to working at Myers? And did you ever work in a factory before?
No, but I thought a pretty good job because that's all you do, and the job not really heavy. I heard that there's really a lot of heavy work. My job is actually have no job. That when they need something, they call me. They need anybody want to go shoot, you know, when I'm short of grocery or they're busy, they ask me, and then. Somebody spells something, I go help them out, clean them up. I'm more like a utility guy that do a little bit everything.
So it was a different type of work. You were tied down to an assembly line.
It's assembly line, you stay where you are, you know, second spot. So many feet you have. Admire, basically. I roam around, whatever they need, they will page me or call me, you know. Basically, nobody, I got pick my hour.
Earl Nicholson, when you first hired in, you go to your job, and you're working around all these people. What were these people like?
Most people are really nice. We still friends, even after that, all those years, most people are normal.
Do you remember any of the people that you hired in with?
Oh, yes. I still see them. Only person that my partner, my first partner, Dave Party, he's a tour guide. He passed away. He actually my partner. We have a lot of fun. I have Jim Ho, that I see him a lot later on, and then another Jim on the QC. I can't remember what his last name. I still see him, and then Big Red. I don't know anybody know his last name. The truck driver. I basically follow his footstep, whatever he go. Actually, I take his job, Big Red job, and then he goes on the better. So I follow him every step.
Red Top. Yeah. I work with Red Top.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about when you were first started working, did you ever have any initiation fees or any pranks pulled on you by the senior employees?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them. We were really, that time, in the factory, assembly line, you had no seat, no brake area. You find a seat where you can between the brake, you know, it's a pole to leave, so you go sit, waiting for your turn, you know. Sometimes you go sit down on the box. Before you have no chair. You have to sit on the stock. Stock to the power everywhere around here. You sit on the stock, and my partner always take the step off, leave the empty box. I would sing right out to the box.
And you fall into the box.
many times.
Did you ever pull any pranks on any of your coworkers to pay them back for that? Or?
Oh yeah, a couple of times I have on him. Not too many times, but it. Most of the time it counts because he's not supposed to get those kind of things back to him. And actually, it's only a few times, but it was more than 4 or 5 times because it was shock.
So, do you remember any supervisors that stood out, and how did they treat you? And do you remember any that stood out?
I remember Leonard Hill, and then Bert, I can't remember what he last name, the short guy.
Bert?
Yeah, he retired a long time ago. Here in Atlanta, Leonard Hill was a partner with alternate day and night. And then I can't remember another one.
Were they all pretty good, or did you ever have any bad supervisors?
I have some bad supervisor, but you know, you try to get along as much you can.
What do you feel made a good supervisor and a bad supervisor?
Well, I don't know, common sense. When you got some stuff going, he understand. I remember one of them was really bad. It was a woman. I don't want to mention the name. My wife can have baby and then after surgery, you know, C-section. Anybody, woman know the C-section is really tough for the woman. I was come to work that day and then take a day off. So when, you know, she let it come out, I just go pick up and come back, you know, to work. She would told me that, why don't you have your neighbor pick her up? So, I said, don't you all have baby? If your husband do it to you, that's something you have to have to everybody. She kind of a little pissed off when I say that.
So you missed work?
I didn't miss work. I came to work.
Well, you wanted to leave. You wanted to
leave.
Get out.
She said no. And I said, why don't you go call somebody, pick her up?
And did what happened? Did she let you go? Or?
She was going to let me go. And then, but my repairman, you know, that time, in the line repairman, I can't remember what his name is. It's a Rusty.
Russ Martin?
No, Russ Martin. Rusty Dad, what's his name?
Ziegler,
yeah.
Rusty Ziegler?
Yeah. I can't remember. Neil Ziegler, yeah. What my? He said, "Do go ahead, I'll take care of it." So I left.
And Rusty Ziegler was a committee man?
No, he was a repairman. He will, you know, every time you something go down the line, he'd be picking up all the job. I'll cover you. That's what most of the time. Just like a utility man and a repairman at the same time, that time, how the system works.
Cheryl McQuaid?
We're all calling you Dew, but your name is
Doucet.
Was that Dew just easier for people to pronounce?
I think people more comfortable to call that, because when you read my name, people, how I say it, you know, and then Dew's, a lot of people call me Dew, even in Thailand, they say, because my name, a lot of people call me Dew anyway. Just for some reason, I don't know why. My name not that long. I don't think it's that bad, but people used to call me all the time, so I like to go by. What a comfortable people to call you, you know, matter to me, you know.
So you it was not me a
Dew.
Problem.
No problem. You can call me Dew or Doucet. You know, if the people call me Doucet, say, wow, this guy really.
What shift did you hire in on?
I actually, they want to kind of put me in the first shift. But I heard a lot of stuff that you're not enough seniority to hang on to. You go night, so I told them put me to night. Then they offered me sanitation job. And then they said that a lot of time you get bumped off and they say, well, don't bother. Because you go in the day shift for 2-3 weeks and then people find out you no seniority. They're going to bump you off. Go where you belong anyway. That's a white waste of time. Just go to where I'm supposed to belong.
How did you feel about the people that you worked around? Were they all very friendly?
Oh, yeah, most of them.
Did they help you out?
Oh, yeah, it's real good. When the first time in, I really have a nice people work around me. We really good friends, you know, like get along good.
Dude, were you the only Thai person that in the plant, or were there other people from
I think
Thai?
It's maybe it's only one. Maybe, I don't know how many Oriental there, but I really count one hand. I don't see anybody except me.
So you were never called upon to translate for...
Later on, they called me, when they have a lot of people from Laos. And one guy from Laos, you know, have to help him out on that thing.
Is it the same language then?
Laos a little bit different from Thai, but 80% or more the same, only pronunciation. Basically, same language.
So, Earl Nicholson, what were your lunches like?
My lunch?
Yes. What did you do for lunch?
Oh. I have no idea, you know, what lunch and all the stuff. I have an awful time first week because I didn't pack my lunch. I'm looking for something to eat. I don't know where to go. Nobody showed me. And actually, when I hired first couple of weeks, thing go short all the time. Everybody left except me. I was standing and I said, well, everybody, long break, nobody come back. Everybody realized, thought I was known. And sometimes I would stand there and say, what happened? Everybody left. I was standing there. And the boss said, what are you doing here? I didn't get overtime. I said, I have no idea.
So did you ever get lost in the plant? When you?
Oh, yeah, many times, especially when they're constructing a new paint department. And then when they come in, they show me how to get to the paint department. You know, that time, I think it's off-limit to the employee to walk through that way, and I get caught. But I told them, you know, that's the only way I know. They show me how. I know another way. I know, park up front on the side. We park on by the south side. So that's the only way I know how. But they let me go that time because a lot of people tried to make a shortcut that time. Get a lot of trouble, but I thought I have no other way to know, to go to the plant. That's the only way I know how.
So you hired in trim.
Yeah. And because on the 3X, you come into the south side, you walk to the, you know, the body shop, whatever, the paint.
Is that the only department you ever worked in? Or?
For a long time.
And then where'd you go from there?
And then after that, went to the material.
Right, we worked together on materials. So.
For about, I think it's 4 years, 3-4 years.
And?
After that, went to the QC.
What was it like going into material? How did you go about getting into material? That was kind of a preferred job. And can you tell us how you went about doing
I put
that?
In a transfer, and then they asked me, do I want to take it? I said, well, yes, I can. You know, I like to do something different.
Did you enjoy material? Or?
I liked it, material. A little different. Give me a little free time to do stuff, you know, go around.
A little better.
Every time you work the same thing all the time, you can, to the point, you can same old thing. So even material actually learn more work. Second time you can do more work, but you change the pace so it make the thing go faster.
And so from material, you transferred out of material and went to QC. You say you went to QC. Can you explain to us what QC is?
QC is a quality control. And I put in a transfer for a quality control. It's, you know, check the fit.
Fit and finish on the car?
Fit and finish, all different stuff.
And what department, where did you work at when you did this job?
I went in trim.
In trim?
Yeah. Actually, when I put in a QC job, quality control. After they accept me, I went overseas, and they called me at home. My son picked up the phone. So I told him to call them that I'll accept the job, but I cannot be back another 4 weeks. And they will, somehow they hold a job for me.
So you went back to Thailand and while they
offered the job. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to, we spent about $5,000 for the airplane for the whole family. I'm not going to jump back like that.
Yeah.
You know.
So did you spend all of your time in trim and QC, or did you move
most
to
of the time, well, for about, I'm not sure exactly, but not really long, because they cut back, you know, back on the line a little bit. And actually never put back on the line, the QC, and then I put in a track. They eliminate all the QC job. So my boss told me that they have some job down at QC in the body shop.
Can you tell us a little bit about that job and what you did there?
Yeah, that's a well integrity job. It's part of the QC. That time it's part of the QC. Instead of check and fit, we check well, spot well, all different stuff have to do with the body before the body put together.
How did you check the welds? Did you have any special tools you worked with?
Oh, we have a hammer and chisel. Basically, that's our main tool.
And
mostly a good eye.
A good eye and a hammer and a chisel.
Yep.
And so, what did you have to do? Did you have to, can you explain how you check a weld?
Yeah, okay. That time when I go in there, I have to check the car. Side frame is a You know, side fans is with it all, the quarter, front quarter panel and the rear quarter panel and the door opening. Mm-hmm. Well together. We did check all the well in that section. I have one side, my partner have one side. It's about 300, 400, close to 400, 300 well or 300, 400 well, something like that.
So you had to check 300 or 400 welds in a hour?
Every hour we pull, we check one. But that time...
When 300 or 400 welds in an hour, so you'd have to hammer...
Actually, physically, take them out from on the line, set on the stand, and we check them in.
With a chisel and a hammer. You would hit the weld with the chisel and the hammer. 300 to 400 hits an hour.
Yeah.
How did you find that? Did you find it physically demanding?
Oh, really physically, because you never use a hammer and chisel. Your arm, your leg not get used to it. You know, just really, after the second and third check, you just about, your shoulder gonna fall off because you're not used to it. And that time, we have to switch the side frame. That even more demanding because you have to switch, take them off from the rack, hang on back on the rack, and put on the job. Usually after by lunchtime, your shoulder but just about had it because it's so heavy. You cannot just drop the thing. You're gonna ding it, so you have to be careful. You and your partner carry one each and drop in the slot so you can check. And you have to alternate 2-door, 4-door, and then Buick. Buick at that time, Pontiac. Or whatever they call for.
Did you ever get in trouble on that job for missing any weld checks? Or
we had some trouble, but a lot of time, it's not your fault or acceptable because you're supposed to be able to, no. On the general model, they accept 5% of bad weld. And a lot of time you miss one or two out of 300. That's not 5%. They try to burn you. They cannot. They try to get you in trouble. But sometimes, if the general motor accept deficiency 5%, if you have one or two, well, how can it be 5%? It's under 5%. Depend on supervisor too, how they want to go about it.
So. Was there was good and bad supervisors in weld integrity?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you remember any names?
I don't want to name them. Most of them really good. I say, you know, most, but a few of them.
Did you ever have to call your union?
Oh, all the time.
And what was the reason why? You missed welds or?
Well, a lot of time when you miss weld, it technically... acceptable, but for some and not acceptable, and for some people, same thing you miss. For them, another person do the same thing could be okay with them. So you not been treated right. You have to call people to.
So you felt they kind of discriminated against certain people. They would let some people get away with certain things and other people.
Yes.
Cheryl McQuaid.
I've got some questions from a while ago. You said that when you first hired in, if you wanted to take a break, you sat on stock because stock was sitting everywhere. Mm-hmm. When you became a material driver, was the stock still sitting everywhere or had the system changed at all?
It's that time it started to transfer a little bit, but it still sat most of the time there. When it comes to material, later on, they start to have themselves pay for all the material stock. We call it a supermarket. It's a long 3-4 stack of rack, run north and the whole length of the four, maybe 50 feet, something like that for each one. And then divide different section on the main four, like in the sea line, the whole length, run all the way from the north end to almost all the way to the step to go up in the 3X. And then on the B, that time a B line, up in the 3X, they have their own little small supermarket up there too to supply the stuff up there. And then on the trim, on the B line, they have their own another side, on the north side, of second floor. So basically, they just start to stock the stuff.
So there wasn't as much stock sitting by the jobs?
Not a little less.
Where did the employees sit then? Did they bring in benches or?
Well, that time when I hired the first, basically you could find any box or solid not to sit on the side. Had no chair, nothing. Only people that have a chair is a boss and a desk. Nobody else have anything. You find anything you can sit on. Sometimes we have to sit between the, on the line down, sitting in a job. Most people lay down the job.
Thank you.
So, okay, dude, I'm going to take you back to the last job you worked, okay. Weld Integrity in the body shop. That was a pretty demanding job. A lot of inspection on that job. They really kept a close eye on the employees. Did you feel that you were discriminated against at all out there in that job?
Oh yes, sometimes depend on incident, but a lot of time I feel that I've been singled out. Not just me, a few other people too. That people can do one thing wrong, the same two person, and one will get single out, another person will total ignore. Might even get reward.
So can you tell us about an incident where that happened with you? Or
I remember one time they have a job come down from underbody. It was a bad weld, and somehow they cannot fix it. They could let them slide by, and then everybody okay with that, sign the paper. And then when I...
So what you're saying is everybody had to sign a paper to...
Okay.
Now, who was? Can you tell us who everybody was? The workers, the supervisors.
Supervisor.
So the workers had to sign a paper.
No. The supervisor had to okay if something not to be fixed.
Oh, okay. So a supervisor, you guys had to report the bad weld.
Yeah.
And the supervisor had to sign off on the weld, knowing that it's bad, yeah. Acknowledging it.
A lot of time, sometimes we work with the production supervisor. They want, if they're not going to fix, and then our boss, okay, we just let them go. Because production have a final say, everything, they don't want to hold the line down, everything have to be going on. Second pace, if they, we find something acceptable to them, and our boss, okay, they're acceptable, they sign the paper, we got to let them go.
So you were telling us about this job that came out of underbody. It came to you.
That time I was, we nicknamed dog catcher. It's anybody in the world, in well integrity, we have three different sections. One a side frame, one underbody, one a car track. When something go wrong, they call to a dog catcher. That's a nickname for the job. And we try to track down what job number starts fixing them. And one incident, I remember, they had some job. Maybe only passed when I started. And then somehow they cannot be repaired at the fissure body. I don't know if they did repair at the chassis or not. They decide that they're going to let the thing go.
So they're going to let this bad weld go.
Mm-hmm. And then... when then something like that, all the, with that time, but the MC, the trim, MC, the wall integrity, have to okay.
The MC, now that's a general foreman.
He's the manufacturer coordinator for the body shop. That time, that second trip, they have, you know, day shift, night shift. And then
so they're like a supervisor's boss.
Yep. And they decide that it's okay, and then it's not going to affect anything. So we have a goal. And then a few months later, I had some incident myself. Some well the less important for me than that well. And they tried to give me time off because of the, somehow I missed a well. When you miss a well in well integrity, if random, you shouldn't have no time off because you don't know, in not every job, the well was bad, some good, some bad. You only pull one every hour. So you happen to hit the one. So-so. So you expect that could be off, not too bad.
Random sampling.
Yeah, sampling. Yeah.
So you got singled out for a weld, and what happened?
They put me in a notice and sent me out the door.
So you got time off for it.
That's correct.
And how much time off did they give you?
3 days.
And what did you do? Did you call your union steward?
Yep, I called my union, and then we looked to the actually the job that I checked, and they said I missed it. And then it was acceptable, but they were saying the 3 well break is actually one well would break. On a well integrity, if you have 3 wells side by side, and each well spaced about inch and a quarter between them, if you have one between them, acceptable. The reason I say acceptable, because GM accept bad well 5% total of the well. So one out of 300-400 job is less than 5%.
So what happened? You called your committee man?
And then we fought that thing, and then later they paid me back.
So you got paid for your time off. Great. Earl Nicholson.
Tell us about your union experience. You know, were you in good relations with your committee people? Did you attend union meetings?
I don't attend the union meeting, but I went to every election.
You go to every election?
Yeah.
And did you interact? Did you get along good with your committee man?
A lot of time, really good. You know, some of them did not agree with me. Certain thing, I don't agree with them, but. A certain way we have to do things right, but the way I see a thing, it should be done that way, but he don't see it that way. But bottom line, we try to get the thing done.
So did you ever have to go, did you ever have to go to the next level in the union?
Almost a few times, but I think I did one time, but same answer. So I never go after that.
So tell us about... Tell us about the benefits the benefit of working in for General Motors.
General Motors, really big company,
mm-hmm.
And then
you get good pay.
Good pay, good benefit.
Mm-hmm. That's been good for your family.
Absolutely the best.
Gary, Judy, what benefit do you appreciate the most working for GM?
Health benefit.
Your health care?
Yep, health benefit. You know, we got a good wage. We can take care of family better, easier. Everybody will take care of the family no matter how much they make, but with our wages, our benefit, it's easier than most people.
Now, when you hired into Fisher Body, it was called Fisher Body, and it's changed over the years, the different names. How do you feel about the name changes?
I think they just... waste money change all the name, because bottom line, everybody should call themselves Fisher Body employee.
So you still consider it Fisher Body?
Because they change the name so much, you don't know which one now, next. Every 2 years, you turn around, you know, they call a different name, but it's you in the same spot.
Well, the plant's closed now, and how do you feel about that?
Well, I feel sad because I worked there so long, 28 years there.
Can you tell us your best moment there and your worst moment?
Well, the worst moment when the thing shut down, you know, you always like get used to what you do. You come to work same time, same spot, or whatever you do, you know, same routine. But we all have to change. And you like to see them hang around, but time to change, everything have to move on. My best time, when I first day I got high in, my first paycheck, it's a lot more than three times more than for the same hour you work, you know, you get three times, four times more than most your old job. That's the best.
So we're coming to a close here.
Does anybody have any questions? Earl Nicholson?
Yeah, dude, are you involved in any activities outside of the factory? Are you involved in any type of community activity?
Yeah, I volunteer to be referee for the soccer. They call it AYS or Association. Mm-hmm. And do it.
Excellent.
Every Saturday, I go referee for them. Even when I'm working at night, sometimes it's tough.
So are you all set to go to the new factory?
Well, yes.
Good to go.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic.
Do you have anything that you'd like to add to this? Do anything that we haven't asked you?
Well, I hope the new factory worked out good for everybody. Not just me, everybody. Everybody behind me, I hope the thing goes good for all of us.
All right, fantastic then.
Well, we'd like to thank you for your time and the interview.
Thanks, thanks, Stu. Appreciate you coming
in. You're welcome. Right. Hopefully you can you guys enjoy it too.
Oh,
it's kind of boring story.
No.